Good morning, Rabbi Sai. To continue our discussion, we already had, we were discussing Parsha Shkolim, and we already had three reasons, three suggestions as to why Machz is a shekel and not a whole shekel or some other amount of money. And we said that there are specific inyonim in the idea of a machtis, in the concept of a half, and we've already had three of them. The final one, the fourth one that I wanted to share with you before we move on to something else to do with Parsha Shkolim, is an idea that I sort of brought down in the Sefer HaTodah. And in the Sefer HaTodah, he brings down an idea like this. He says that we say every day in Tefillah, Elokai neshomo shenosato bi tohorohi, that the neshomo is tohor. The neshomo is tohor, lo'olam voed. It's something that cannot be. Exactly where your neshama is and where you find it, and exactly how you define the neshama, I don't know, but it's your soul, it's some internal part, the holy part, if you like. It's the spiritual part of the esoteric part of your existence is the neshama. And we say neshama shenasata bi tohirohi, and there's nothing that you could do in order to taint the neshama. But the neshama is enveloped, is contained within a guf, within a physical body, and the physical body has it has things that attract it physically. It has things that it is has a cheshik to do, and not all those things are always good. And therefore, we end up from time to time sinning and going against the rotzon of the Rabbeinu Shlalom. And at that time, the neshama is very upset. The neshama wants to be holy, the neshama wants to keep the Torah, the neshama wants to do the mitzvahs, and yet it's the guf that's pulling in a different direction and doing the things that the neshama doesn't like. So therefore, says the Sefer HaTodah, I didn't look up, I need to check it out exactly what his makor is, because he's only a malakit, he brings things from other people. So therefore, I should check exactly who says this, but he says that whenever we sin, it's only part of us that sins. The neshama never sins. The neshama wants to do the good. No, it's the guf that sins. And when we do teshuvah, then we are returning to the complete, if you like, the neshama and the guf are both back in the service of the Rabbeinu Shlalom. So that the complete neshama and the guf, the complete existence, becomes again subservient to the Rabbeinu Shlalom. But while we're doing chet, part of us is doing the wrong thing. And it's the neshama that is upset about it, and the neshama that says it's the guf that's rebelling, if you like. But when tshuva happens, then we are rejoined. So he says that that's the idea of machtis ha-shekel. Right? When Klal Yisrael sinned with the egel, the machtis ha-shekel was lechaper al nafshoy seichem, but it was their bodies that sinned. It was their tivus, it was their physical inclinations that sinned. The neshama remained tohirohi. And when Klal Yisrael does teshuva, lechaper al nafshoy seichem, then it is a reunification of the neshama and the guf, that they're both pulling in the same direction together again, and they become whole again. So therefore, he says that's the concept of machtzis hashekel. The machtzis hashekel, lechaper al nafshoy seichem for chet ho'egel, is to remind us that machtzis, when we do an aveira, it's only one half of us, if you like. It's one part of us that's doing the aveira. When we do teshuva, we become reunited. Le'osid lovoi, we'll all do teshuva, and the neshama and the guf will be reunited, and we'll be working together, the neshama with the guf, lavoi das Hashem. Then, le'osid lovoi, then it will be the concept of a shekel esob avayis nochom miniso. Not a machtzis ha-shekel then, but after teshuvah, we are reunited, inside the guf, inside the neshama, are working la'avodas Hashem. Then it's the concept of, now it's machtzis ha-shekel when we're doing teshuvah, to be mechapa on the chelek of our existence that sinned, but la'osid lovo, when we are complete, when the neshama is complete with the guf, and we're pulling in the same direction, then we say v'shekel esob avayis nochom miniso. Then the shekel will be complete, it will no longer be a machtzis. Torahway, Northwest London, Thursday, Yud Ches Shvat, Chai Shvat, the 5th of February. Today's speaker is not as advertised. At very, very short notice, we're grateful to Rabbi Huda Wittenberg. They stood in at the last minute, literally, in order to give us a Dvar Torah today on the subject of Tanai in Kiyama Mitzvah.
Yep.
This week's Torah Way was sponsored anonymously, and as always is Leila Nishmas, our founder, Reb Yosef Dov Ben Reb Shimon Michal Tzvi Zechayin Levrocha.
Good morning, Rabbi Isai. Normally I just see you all in the coffee room. Today we're spending half an hour together. And I thought, yes, it is at short notice, but I did have a chance to consider a little bit of a topic that would be slightly relevant. And Parshas Yisroi is the parsha of Kabbalah Satorah. Kabbalah Satorah, we know that the Torah was given at Har Sinai, the Torah with all its constituent Tariag mitzvahs. The Psad Yigon learns that the Aseres Hadibros themselves contain remozim to all the Tariag mitzvahs. So I thought to take a topic that's not specific to a particular mitzvah, but it's a topic that talks about the whole inyan of Kiyum HaMitzvahs, and specifically the following shaila. We know the concept that if somebody wants to make a kinyan, they can make a kinyan al tanai. I can make a transaction. If I want to enter into a business transaction with somebody, I can say that I want to sell you my property if by such and such a date you do X. You pay me a certain amount of money. Well, let's say if you're buying a property and you want to buy it subject to planning. So you can enter into a transaction, halachically, and you can say that if the planning permission has been achieved by a certain date, then the transaction will proceed. And if not, the transaction is invalid. So the concept of tanoim, we know. Where do we know it from? So the Gemara tells us, in Ksubas, the makor that a tanai works in halacha, is learnt from the Bnei God and Bnei Reuven. Because they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they wanted to have their portion of land outside Eretz Yisrael, because they had a lot of animals, and the land there was better for the animals. Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, if you come and fight the wars in Eretz Yisrael to help us conquer the land, then I'll give you the land outside Eretz Yisrael. And it's mashma from the Gemara that Moshe Rabbeinu was actually makne to them the land. He did a transaction with them, and it was a conditional transaction. But he said to them, if you don't come into Eretz Yisrael and help us to overcome the nations living in Eretz Yisrael, then the transaction will be invalid and the land will not be yours. So we learn from there that when you do something al tanai, the tanai has the ability to dictate whether the transaction is chal or not. So the shaila arises whether a person can make a tanai when they do a mitzvah. Can a person do a mitzvah and have in mind when they do the mitzvah that the mitzvah should only be chal, the mitzvah should only be mekuyam if something happens? So that's the shaila. And as far as I'm aware, I know of 7 examples where practical halacha l'maisa, Shulchan Aruch, Poskim tell us that you can make a tanai and kiyum mitzvahs. I'll go through some of them. I don't want to spend the whole shiur going through the 7 examples, but just briefly, we find that if a person, the Shulchan Aruch Poskim, that if a person davens with a minyan, he davens a mara before nacht, during the oimah, and in the time of Chazal, it used to be prevalent that even in Minyonim, where they davened Maariv early, the Tzibur would say Sfira Sa'oma before Nacht. Today, it's not the case. Today, if you go to a Minyan for Mincha Maariv during the summer, during the Oma, they will not count Sfira Sa'oma, and you have to count afterwards, after Nacht, because that's when you're supposed to count. But back in the day, it seems to be that was the custom. And the person comes to Shul, and he's not sure if he's going to remember afterwards to count after Nacht. So the halacha is, the Magen Avraham says that Yechavim Beliboi, he should have in mind that in Ezker Balayla, if I remember afterwards to count after Nacht, then my Tzvira now is not Chal, because Lechatchila, it's better to count after Nacht. After Nacht Lechaladeus, it's the next day. So you see over there by Sfiras Oma that you can count the Oma al Tanai. Similarly, it's
Marav again.
You don't have to have Marav again, because Marav Lechatchila, you can, not Lechatchila, well, according to many days, you can daven from Plaga Mincha onwards. Krishma, you have to say again.
So he's saying my Maariv is good, but
my Sfiras Oma should be done after Nacht. So he says like this, if I remember afterwards, then now my Sfiras Oma shouldn't be a valid mitzvah. If, however, I'm not going to remember afterwards, then I want my Sfira now to be a valid Sfira, because it's better to count before Nacht than not at all. That's one example.
You can count twice without a bracha, maybe.
Yeah, correct. That's exactly what he's saying. But the first time you count, you don't want to be, if the second time, even if you count second time without a bracha, if you've already counted once, then the second time doesn't help you. Unless you have in mind that the first sefira shouldn't be valid if I remember to count afterwards again. Right?
Maybe if he doesn't make a bracha the first time, makes it the second time.
Correct. When you make a bracha, it's a different shaila. when you should make a bracha. The question is just about the bat mitzvah, the sviras ha'omer, the mitzvah is the counting. I'll give you another example. That Shabbos morning you come to shul, and you look at Safsman Krishma, and let's say you're davening a minyan that's starting at 9 o'clock, and Safsman Krishma is at 9:40. And you don't know if the Shliach Tzibur is going to get to Krishma on time. You don't know who's going to daven for the Omet. You don't know how long they're going to take. You don't know how long the Kel Odin that they're going to choose is going to last. And therefore you don't know if at 9:40 you'll be up to Krishma or not. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says, what do you do? So before davening, or before Baruch Sha'omar, you should say Krishma. Now it's better, let me just preface, it's better to say Krishma in its right place in davening with its brachas. That's the optimal, that's lechatchila when you should say Krishma. So what should you do? If you say Krishma before davening, then maybe you're going to get Krishma before 9:40 during davening, and it would have been better to say Krishma in the right place. So should you not say Krishma before davening and chant it, and maybe you'll get up to Krishma in the right time, and then you'll be able to say Krishma properly? Or do you say no? Do you say, I'd rather make sure I bag the mitzvah, so I should say Krishma before you start Mizmor Shir, before you start Baruch Sha'omar, say it without the brachas, but at least you've said it before the Safsman Krishma. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, I've got a solution for you. What you should do is you should say Krishma before Baruch Sha'omar in the wrong place, but you're saying it at least before the Safsman Krishma, and you should make it tonight. You should say that if the chazan doesn't get up to Krishma in time, then I'm now have in mind that this should be my mitzvah's kiyum Krishma. But if the chazan is going to get to Krishma before 9:40, then I have in mind that what I'm saying now is not a kiyum mitzvah, and I'll be yoytz my mitzvah in behidura when I say it properly in its right place with the brachas. There are other examples, but just illustrations. The famous one is the Tanai of the Avnei Nezer on Seder nights, eating afikoma before chatzos. After chatzos, if you know, you know. Right? Al kaponim. There's many examples where you find that you can do a mitzvah al tanai. Now, you would think, that's logical. I'm doing the mitzvah. I have in mind when I want to be yotz to the mitzvah, when I don't want to be yotz to the mitzvah. So it should make a lot of sense that I can do the mitzvah al tanai. L'chor, there's no chiddush here. But the Oinig Yontov asks a very stark akasha. And the Oinig Yontov asks the following. There's a Gemara in Ksubas. The Gemara in Ksubas tells us that if somebody wants to do chalitza al tanai, okay, the process of chalitza is one where somebody who dies without children and the brother of the husband has to do either yibum or chalitza. He either has to marry his sister-in-law. If he doesn't want to marry her, he has to do the special process of chalitza, which involves her taking off a shoe from his foot. It's a whole procedure. You can look it up on YouTube. There's clips of a chalitza process. The question the Gemara declares is, can a person do chalitza al tanai? Can you do chalitza and make it conditional? You can say, for example, you say to the sister-in-law, let's say he says to her, if you pay me 200 zuz by the end of the week, then the chalitza that we're doing should be valid. And if not, I don't want the chalitza to be chal. Like you can do kiddushin al tanai. And we said you can do a kenyan al tanai. Can you do chalitza al tanai? So the Gemara says, no, you can't. And the Gemara says, you know why? Because the whole principle of that a tanai works is learnt, as we said earlier, from the Bnei God and Bnei Ruvein. Moshe Rabbeinu said to them that if you go into Eretz Yisrael and if you fight the war for Klal Yisrael, then you will get the land on the Eivah HaYarden, and if not, not. And that is where we learn, that's the makor, that tanoim work. That when you do something on condition, that your condition actually has got the power to govern what you did, whether it's valid. That's the makor. So asked the Oinig Yontov and says the Gemara that the Chalukas Ha'aretz, which Moshe Rabbeinu did, was something that he was able to do al yidei shliach. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to appoint a shliach to divide Eretz Yisrael. How do we know this? Because Moshe Rabbeinu appointed Yeshua to do it. Moshe Rabbeinu himself passed away before Eretz Yisrael was divided. But Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Moshe the power to divide Eretz Yisrael, and the Rishonim all explain that when Moshe Rabbeinu delegated it to Yeshua, he was actually making Yeshua a shaliach to divide Eretz Yisrael and to give it out. So the Gemara says, if your whole makor, if your whole source of the chiddush that you can do something al tanai is learnt from the Chalukas Ha'aretz, then it stands to reason that it's got to be like Chalukas Ha'aretz. And in the same way as Chalukas HaOretz can be done Al Yidei Shaliach, so too, anything that can be done Al Yidei Shaliach can be done Al Yidei Tanai. Milsa, the Isa B'Shlichas, Isa B'Tanai. But Milsa, the Leisa B'Shlichas, if you're dealing with something that cannot be done Al Yidei Shaliach, then it's no longer Doimer, it's no longer similar to B'nei God, B'nei Reuven, to Chalukas HaOretz. And then you don't have the chiddush that's not in work. And on that basis, says the Gemara, that chalitza, you cannot appoint someone to be a shliach for chalitza. If the husband is somewhere else, if the brother is somewhere else, and he wants to appoint a shliach to stand in his place for his sister-in-law to do chalitza, it doesn't work. Chalitza has to be done, dafke himself. Says the Gemara, milsa de leisa b'shlichas, leisa b'tnai. If you can't do it through a shliach, then you can't do it on condition either. And therefore, if somebody tries to do chalitza al tanai, we say that the tanai is invalid and the chalitza automatically works. So if he says to the sister-in-law, he says, we're doing the ma'aseh chalitza and I only want it to be valid if by the end of the week you've put £5,000 in my bank account, the chalitza is valid even if she doesn't put the money in the bank account. Because the rule is that when a tanai doesn't work, we say the ma'aseh is kayim and the tanai is bottle. That's the Gemara.
Sorry, two things. Number one, how do we know that Yehoshua was the shliach of Moshe?
Oh.
Maybe it's just whoever is the leader of Klal Yisrael at the time is responsible
right.
for Chalukah.
A lot of people ask the Kasha. Yeah. It's a very valid Kasha, and there's raid about it,
okay.
But beyond the scope of the Sheh.
Okay.
Yeah, it's brought down, but the Rishonim do say, Rashi says in the Gemara that Yehoshua was Rashi shliach.
Yeah.
But the Kasha is a very good Kasha.
Second question. If Kiddushin works b'shlichas and Gittin works b'shlichas, why does Chalitza not work b'shlichas? Who says you can't make a shliach?
Oh, who says you can't make shliach by Chalitza? So the answer is beyond the scope of the shir. I know it sounds like a cop out, but there's makoris for it. I don't have them to hand, but it's that is a dover muskim. You can't do shliach. It's a long story.
Okay.
But yeah, that, so Chalitza cannot be done either shlichas. Memela a tanai can't be done. So ask in the Yontav, if so, all the mitzvahs that we were talking about earlier that we're saying can be done al tanai, can you make a tanai? Can you make a shliach for someone to say Kriya Shema? You can't be bothered to say Kriya Shema this morning. So I go to Mr. Bowden, I say, Mr. Bowden, I'm making you a shliach to say Kriya Shema for me. I'm going back to bed. Does it work? Avadanisht. It doesn't work. Mitzvahs that you have to do yourself, a mitzvah shem begufoy, cannot be done aydei shliach. So if it can't be done aydei shliach, ask the Oneg Yontov, how can you do the mitzvah aydei tanai? We've just learnt a principle that you can only something that can be done aydei shliach can be done aydei tanai. Milsa de leisa b'shlichas, leisa b'tanai. So Oibazai, ask the Oneg Yontov, Kriya Shema, Sfira Sa'oma, I can't make a shliach to say Sfira Sa'oma for you. Tfilin, we find you can do al tanai. There's Afikoyman, eating afikoyman, achilas matzah is not something you can make a shliach for. So all these mitzvahs that we say you can do them al tanai, how does it work? Lichora milsa de leisa b'shlichas, leisa b'tanai. If you can't appoint a shliach to do it, you shouldn't be allowed to make a tanai. That's the Oneg Yontov's kasha. And the Oneg Yontov in Siman Beis and Siman Gimel in his Teshuvos is so bothered by this kasha that he argues on the Shulchan Aruch and Rabbi Kiva Eger, and he argues on all the Rishonim and Achronim, and he says you cannot be Mekayim a mitzvah al tanai. That's his maskana. So I have five answers to this kasha. We're obviously not going to have time to go through all the five answers, but let's see a couple of them. Okay, let's see a couple of them. We'll start with a straightforward one, and then we'll go to one which is a little bit lomdish. Okay, so the Chasam Sofer says the following principle. The Chasam Sofer says that we're making the kasha that we've asked is based on the assumption that you need to look at each mitzvah in itself. Can this mitzvah be done al tanai, or can it not be done al tanai? So we said, Lamosha, let's take Kriya Shema, because Rabbi Kiva said, by Kriya Shema you can do al tanai. Let's use that as our example. So the Oneg Yontov says, if Kriya Shema cannot be done aydei shliach, you shouldn't be able to do al tanai. The Chasam Sofer says, you need to take a little bit more of a wider perspective. Don't drill down onto the specific mitzvah. You need to ask yourself, in principle, can mitzvahs be done al tanai or not? And the answer is that some can and some can't. Okay? I'll give you an example. Bedikas chametz is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah drabono. Biur chametz is a mitzvah deraisa. Can be done al yidei shliach. If you're not available to burn your own chametz, you can make a shliach to burn your chametz.
That's because it's a mitzvah on the chametz.
So exactly right. What's the difference? So what's the geder? How do you determine? How do you define which mitzvahs you can make shliach and which mitzvahs you can't? So here, there's the distinction is as follows: if it's a mitzvah shebegufoy, if it's a mitzvah that you have to do as a person, a chovas haguf, you can't make a shliach. Tfilin, krishma, lulav, that you can't do. But some mitzvahs, the mitzvah isn't for you to do it. The mitzvah is for it to be done, right? For the chometz, for example. The mitzvah is for your chometz to be destroyed. Who actually does it? Not that important. It's your responsibility. So therefore, those mitzvahs, you can appoint a shliach to do. Says the Chasam Sofer, since there are mitzvahs that can be done al yidei shliach, so then when it comes to determining whether a mitzvah can be done al tanai, you don't look at the individual mitzvahs. You have to look at the sug mitzvahs as the general group mitzvahs. Can mitzvahs in general be done al yidei shliach? And the answer is sometimes they can. And the fact that sometimes they can be done al yidei shliach allows you to consider mitzvahs as something de'isa b'shlichus. And therefore, if mitzvahs can be done al yidei shliach, even if it's not all the time, but even if sometimes mitzvahs can be done al yidei shliach, then it's good enough to be able to tell us that a mitzvah can be done al tanai. Even those individual mitzvahs that themselves cannot be done al yidei shliach.
And so this rule, we don't break that klal.
We don't break that klal. And there's a beautiful tzushtal to this, a nice, like a smach to what the Chasam Sofer says, and I can't remember if he brings it or if others bring it. The Gemara says that kiddushin is something that can be done ayde shliach. A person can make a shliach to be makadish anesha. You can give money to a shliach and be makadish this woman for me, and the kiddushin is chal. The Gemara says that the Gemara says how can you do kiddushin ayde shliach? There's one version of kiddushin. Kiddushin can be done in three ways. It can be done bekesef, bestar, or bebia. The Gemara says because you can make a shliach in kiddushin, you can do al tanai. Because we said milsa de isa b'shlichus isa b'tanai, so you can be makadosh and isha al tanai. Says the Gemara, what about if a person is makadosh and isha al yidei bia? Bia is not something you can do al yidei shliach. It's got to be the husband has to have relations with the woman himself. There's one of the forms of kiddushin is to kiddushay bia. If you do bia l'shem kiddushin, the kiddushin is chal. Says the Gemara, how can you do kiddushay bia al tanai? The Gemara answers, because the other type of kiddushin can be done al yidei tanai. So therefore, kiddushin is something that can be done al yidei shliach. Sorry, the other types of kiddushin, b'shtar and b'kesef, can be done al yidei shliach. Since some type of kiddushin can be done al yidei shliach, so therefore, kiddushin in general is something that is considered nase al yidei shliach. It's a milsa de isa b'shliach, and therefore, it's isa b'tanai. So you see this concept that even if something, a particular prat, doesn't work al yidei shliach, the fact that kedushin in general works al yidei shliach makes it a milsa de isa b'shlichus. And therefore, Chasam Sofer says that the same is with mitzvahs. Hagam, even though you have certain mitzvahs that cannot be done al yidei shliach, since other mitzvahs can be done al yidei shliach, so therefore mitzvahs in general are considered something that's isa b'shlichus that can be done through a shliach, and therefore one can make a tanai on any mitzvah one wants to be mekayim. That's the Chasam Sofer's teretz.
On any mitzvah?
On any mitzvah one does, if you want to be mekayim it al tanai, if you want to do the mitzvah conditionally, then you have the ability to do so. Even those mitzvahs that you couldn't do through a shliach.
Like tefillin.
If you put on tefillin and you say, I only want to be mekayim my mitzvah of tefillin. I'll tell you an example of tefillin, halacha lemaisa.
Yeah.
Okay? The Ramah says, on chol hamoed, there's a big machlokes whether to wear tefillin on chol hamoed or not. Right? So those who follow the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch passages, you don't put on tefillin chol hamoed. The Ramah says that you should put on tefillin chol hamoed, but you should have in mind that if the halacha is that you're not supposed to put tefillin on, then I have in mind not to be yotz in the mitzvah. You know why? Because otherwise there might be a problem with Bar Tosef. If you wear tefillin when you're not supposed to wear, there's a shiloh of Bar Tosef, or somebody who wears both tefillin on Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam at the same time, which some Sfadim do. Right? And you're not supposed to be Moisif. You're only supposed to wear one Tefillah Tefillah, not two. So you have in mind that if the Rashi is the correct one, then I'm have kavana not to be yotze with Marabeinu Tam, and vice versa. So by tefillin, you have two examples in halacha where you actually can do the tefillin al tanai. You can make a condition. Your kiyum mitzvah is al tanai.
If you can't do it with a shliach.
No. Because we've said, because mitzvahs, the Chasam Sofer says, the fact that some mitzvahs can be done in Aydei Shliach is enough to say that any mitzvah can be done out tonight. For example, Chalitza is a mitzvah, not.
You said you can't do it with tonight.
No, we said, there we said you can't do it with tonight, because it's the Kenyan Shabbat.
So all you're saying is that the mitzvah, the Isa B'shlichus, Isa B'tznai, doesn't apply to mitzvahs. Is that what you're saying?
Correct, according to the Chasam Sofer.
Yeah.
According to the Chasam Sofer. Because the Chasam Sofer says there are, yes. It's called the Milsa de Isa B'shlichus. Yeah, that's right.
But even a mitzvah that isn't B'shlichus.
Correct.
Is B'tznai.
Correct. The last teretz I want to share with you is a teretz which comes from a Choshev Yid who was lifted a couple of years ago in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know if any of you know him. He was a Sfadish Rosh Hashiva called Rebbe Eliyahu Tzion Sofer. He was a big, big, big Talmud Chacham. And he comes up with a beautiful idea. It's a Lomdash idea, but stay with me, and it's very Geshmak. He says the following. He says, why is it that generally I need a chiddush to learn from Bnei God and Bnei Reuven that you're allowed to make a tnai in something? Why isn't it obvious that if I want to do something on condition of certain things, then I'm doing the maisa? Why shouldn't it be possible for me to do al tnai? Why do I need a chiddush atorah from Bnei God and Bnei Reuven to teach me a new chiddush that I can do something al tnai? Isn't it logical that if I do something, I should be able to determine how and when it's valid? You would think you don't need a chiddush haTorah for it. So he says, the chiddush haTorah is that we have a principle in the Gemara, it comes up several places, that ein dibur mevatel maisa. That if you do something which is an action, a maisa, and then you have something which is a speech, which is not a maisa, then the speech is considered something that's got less of a gravitas. And therefore, if you do something and you want to undo the action by speech or by saying something or by thinking something, then dibur is not strong enough to undo an action. So when I do a kinyan on something, when I do a transaction, I'm doing an action. A kinyan is an action. Either I'm doing a kinyan physically or I'm doing a kinyan through a shtar. There's always a physical action involved. If you didn't have the chiddush of Bnei God of Bnei Reuven, I would have said, I can't make a tanai. Because a condition that you make is just something, you're saying something, you're thinking something. You're not actually doing something. And therefore, without the chiddush of Bnei God of Bnei Reuven, I wouldn't know that I can make a tanai, because the tanai is a dibur. The kinyan that you've done is an action. And ein dibur mevatel maisa. Comes along the Torah with Bnei God and Bnei Reuven, tells us a chiddush, that even though the tanai is only a dibur, and my action is a maisa, and normally I say ein dibur mevatel maisa, the chiddush haTorah by Bnei God and Bnei Reuven is to teach me that in the case of tanai, my dibur is strong enough to undo a maisa. That's why I need the chiddush haTorah of Bnei God and Bnei Reuven. Okay? Now, with mitzvahs, we have a rule that mitzvahs tzrichas kavana, tzmachloikas. But we paskin, certainly in derises, we paskin mitzvah strichas kavana. When we say mitzvah strichas kavana, what do we mean? We say that when you do a mitzvah, you have to have kavana to be yotza. There's different ways of understanding this. But one way of understanding this is that every mitzvah that you do consists of two components. There's the maisa ha-mitzvah, there's my shaking the lulav, and then there's my kavana. There's my machshava, I have a thought, I have an intention that with this action, I want to fulfill my obligation. And if you don't have the kavana, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. You might have shaken your lulav with all the nanuim, with all the rebbe shezachen, but if you don't have in mind at the time that you want to do the mitzvah, you want to be mekayim the mitzvah with this action, you're not yotza. That's the rule of mitzvah strichas kavana. So mitzvah strichas kavana actually tells me that every mitzvah has two components. It's got a maisa and it's got a machshava. It stands to reason, therefore, that if I want to make a tanai to be yotza the mitzvah or not, what am I doing? I'm making a condition on my kavana. I'm not making a condition whether the maisa ha-mitzvah is a maisa ha-mitzvah. What I'm doing is that my kavana to be yotze the mitzvah, to be makayim the mitzvah with his action, that kavana should only apply if certain things happen. I should only be yotze my mitzvah kriyashma if I say it before Pesuk de Zimra, if the chazan doesn't get to kriyashma before 9:40. So actually what I'm doing is I'm using a dibur not to be mavat lemaisa. I'm using my dibur to control my kavana. For dibur to control kavana, that's not something that I need a chiddush haTorah, because osi dibur umavatl dibur. Dibur is strong enough to govern another dibur, or to undo it, or to control it. When do we need the chiddush haTorah that we learn from Bnei God and Bnei Reuven, that I can use a tanai to control something? That's if I'm using the tanai to control an action. When normally I have a klal of loy osi dibur umavatl masa, over here I need the chiddush haTorah from Bnei God and Bnei Reuven to tell me a chiddush that if it's al tanai, the tanai is strong enough to control a masa. But when I'm using my tanai to control my machshava, for that I don't need to come on to Bnei God and Bnei Reuven. That is logical. Osi dibur umavatl machshava or dibur, however you want to learn it. And therefore, it stands to reason that when we say that from Bnei God and Bnei Reuven, I learn that only milsa de isa b'shlichus, isa b'tanai, that if you can appoint a shliach, you can make a tanai, but if you can't appoint a shliach, you can't make a tanai. And we asked, if so, when I do my mitzvah of krishma, I can't appoint a shliach for krishma, and therefore I shouldn't be able to make a tanai. The answer is, when it comes to making a tanai in kina mitzvahs, I don't need to come onto the chiddush of Bnei God and Bnei Reuven. I can understand logically, when it comes to Kema Mitzvahs, the fact that I can make a Tanai is logical, because I'm using my Tanai to control the Kavana element of the Mitzvah. Remember we said that if Mitzvah Shrichas Kavana, your Mitzvah has got two components. It's got a Maisa HaMitzvah, and it's got the Kavana of the Mitzvah. And only when those two are in place, have you fulfilled your Mitzvah. When I come along and make a Tanai, I'm using my Machshava to control the Kavana HaMitzvah. And for that, I don't need to come on to Bnei God of Bnei Reuven. If I don't need to come on to the chiddush of Bnei God of Bnei Reuven, then I'm also not governed by the restrictions of that chiddush. There's the restriction of milsa, de leisa b'shlichus, leisa b'tanai, that if you can't appoint a shliach, a tanai doesn't work, only applies in as much as I'm learning from Bnei God of Bnei Reuven. But here, the fact that you can use a tanai to govern whether you're mekayim the mitzvah or not, because the tanai is controlling the kavana of the mitzvah rather than the action of the mitzvah, for that I don't need to come on to Bnei God and Bnei Reuven. And therefore, even a mitzvah that is leisa b'shlichus, even a mitzvah which you cannot do ayde shlichus, i.e. tefillin, lulav, krishma, you can still make a tanai to determine whether you're yotz in the mitzvah or not. So just to summarize briefly, we had akasha was that how can you do certain mitzvahs al tanai? We have a principle that we learn from Bnei God, Bnei Reuven, milsa de leisa b'shlichas leisa tanai, something that you can't make a shliach on, you can't make a tanai, and therefore we ask that any mitzvah that you do, that you can't do ayde shliach, for example, kriyashma or tefillin, you shouldn't be able to make a tanai. So we said two answers. The Chasam Sofer answers that all mitzvahs should be looked at collectively, and since some mitzvahs can be done ayde shliach, so therefore mitzvahs in general are called a misa de'is, milsa de'isa b'shlichas, and therefore you should be able to make a tanai on any mitzvah and not consider whether that particular mitzvah is ayde shliach. And the second answer we saw is that in Londis, when you make a mitzvah, when you do a mitzvah al tanai, what you're actually doing is you're using the tanai to control your kavana in the mitzvah. Your kavana in the mitzvah is not an action, it's only a machshava. If it's not an action, then I don't need to come onto the chiddush of Bnei God and Bnei Reuven to teach me that a tanai works. It's a logical thing, and if I don't need to learn from Bnei God and Bnei Reuven, I'm also not limited by the restriction that we learn from there, which is a milsa de leis de b'shlichas leis de tanai. And therefore, when I do a mitzvah, I can be mekayim the mitzvah al tanai. Thank you very much.
You look a bit greyer than in the photo this morning.
I know. Thank you. I've aged overnight. Hariani.
Yeah. Pleasure.